We're back for the first episode of 2021, and we have something a little different in store. This episode brings a pro license candidate and a C license holder together. Two men at very different stages in their career, but with one big thing in common. Joining us on the podcast all the way from Australia is former Celtic and Motherwell star Scott McDonald and 23-year-old C license holder from Airdrie, Scott McDonald. I'm your host, Lewis Irons, and I'm joined, as always, by Greg Patterson, Head of Coach Education and Development at the Scottish FA.
Back for another edition of the podcast, joined, as always, by Greg Patterson, Head of Coach Education and Development at the Scottish FA. Greg, a very interesting podcast we've got lined up today. Before we introduce our special guests, as it's not just the one on the show today, do you want to give us a run through of what we've got in store? Perhaps two guys at very different ends of the spectrum in coaching.
Well, by all means, yes. I don't want to steal your thunder, though, Lewis. It's been your kind of brainchild, this one. You've been excited about getting two people with the same name on. So, no, it's good to chat to the two of them. As you say, both at different ends of the spectrum. One of them currently on the pro licence and another making his way up the pathway, you know, having completed the C licence. So, you know, I hope the chat maybe goes some way to show what we offer in coach education and how we can maybe simplify and streamline the opportunities that are available to coaches to complete that coach education pathway.
Absolutely. Well, without further ado, we are joined by two very different men, but with one big similarity. I'm delighted to welcome out in Australia, Scott McDonald, and out in Airdrie, Scott McDonald. Guys, first time you've met, so Scott, here you go.
Good evening here. Good morning over there. Nice to meet you, Mr. McDonald.
Absolutely. I know. Thank you, Scotty, for joining us out to show you the time difference. You've made sure to jump through hurdles for us, so we appreciate it as always. And great to see you as well, mate, and flying high out in the A-League as well. It's going well.
Yeah, we've just obviously begun our new season, which is odd because everyone else is sort of halfway through theirs. But a long delay in ours, just starting at just after Christmas. And good to be back, Lewis. It's been a long time since August, but I suppose we're very fortunate over here that we're even allowed to have spectators. So it's going well at the moment, very early stages for the club, but again, looking like we're going to have a good season.
Absolutely. Before we get into things, Scott out in Airdrie there, welcome to the podcast and a good opportunity, as Greg alluded to, you know, early in the pathway, you've got your C licence, but an opportunity today to speak to someone like Scott McDonald with who's on the pro licence and obviously everything he's achieved as a player. Are you looking forward to getting into things today?
Yeah, definitely, guys. Obviously, I want to say thanks for this opportunity, getting to speak to both yourselves as well as Scott McDonald. Great opportunity, so thanks very much.
Not at all. Well, Greg, it's you touched on Scott McDonald on the pro licence. Let's talk about that. Obviously, we've got challenges going on at the moment. All coaches do, but this is a good example of how we're getting through it. We've got two guys joining us from other sides of the world. The coach education platforms are continuing to go on throughout the pandemic, and it's flourishing in many ways, isn't it, despite the challenges?
Yeah, again, without blowing smoke up our own backsides, I think we've done fantastically well in the last year to transition a lot of what we do to online learning, Lewis, and it has been a huge success for us. I think we went through a period of time and perhaps are in that period of time again, unfortunately, in Scotland with the new lockdown where people are actually craving something to do. You know, they maybe can't be taking their local grassroots team. They can't be working with their players and they're looking for education, which is testament to all the coaches that we've got throughout the country. You know, they're actually looking for something to do in terms of education during what is a period of downtime, essentially. So, yeah, we've done well in the last year managing to do that. And, of course, Scott on the pro licence now has experienced some of that. And that helps Scott as well, obviously, given the geographical distance between Scotland and Australia now that he's out there playing.
It's actually working out well for you, isn't it, mate? Out there, actually, the use of technology and the way things are going, because it would have been a lot of travelling otherwise.
Absolutely. But, you know, that was part of the agreement of coming into this and how much you really wanted it, that was always going to be the case, that the travel was no issue, because being on this course is very special to me. And you see the elite levels that the SFA have done previous and the amount of top quality coaches that have been there before myself, you know, in terms of this course. And it was something that I was desperate to get on, and I'm grateful to be on it. And if Greg's not going to blow smoke out of his own backside, I will, because I'm part of the course and it's been excellent so far, and how creative the staff collectively have been in trying to get all this together and resourcing people, and it's been excellent. Albeit, yes, sometimes to brainwave with others, to be in the same room would be amazing, but we're getting our little groups within the Zoom calls as well, and that's great to obviously, you know, speak to other, you know, coaches that are in different positions all around the world in our group. So it's pretty cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. Another opportunity for that today. And Scott, just a bit of background on your coaching journey so far. I know obviously only 23 years old, a young guy. I know speaking to you before this that you suffered a football injury at a fairly young age. And I guess did coaching become a big aim in your life in many ways after that?
Yeah, so basically when I was a young age, I'd done some ligaments in my knee. And the doctor at the time actually says to me that I would no longer be able to play football. But me, as a young kid, I wasn't going to take no for an answer. I was determined. I wanted to train. I wanted to play. So I kept on going. I got physio, kept working hard, and I eventually got back to playing football. But I've just kept on getting knee injuries after knee injuries. So I still do play a little football, but I'm mostly trying to get down the coaching role because I do still want to get involved in the beautiful game that everybody loves.
Absolutely. And I know you were working with Clyde Youth Football for a while as well, weren't you? And obviously there's been many challenges for everybody through the pandemic. Did that come to an end in October, is that right?
Yeah, I worked for Clyde for about 3-4 years. I really enjoyed it. It was my first kind of 11-a-side team kind of role. Challenging at times, but getting to know what players need, kind of what kind of coaching style, was pretty knowledgeable for me.
Yeah.
So yeah, absolutely loved it. Again, as you said, challenges through many things, but you've got to overcome them.
Of course you do. That determination, Greg, is something that you see at all levels, and for someone on the C licence looking to progress and develop, it's a crucial part of trying to progress up the coaching pathway, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, you can do all the coaching courses in the world, but, you know, you've got to develop a resilience and, you know, you've got to have an appetite for it and all those different words that we could throw at it, Lewis. But, you know, it's the, you know, Scott's unfortunately said he had to leave Clyde there due to personal reasons, but, you know, there'll be other clubs there, you know, and this is a thing I say to a lot of coaches, you know, go and chap the door at another club, get experience and get out there and push yourself as best you possibly can.
Absolutely. Scott, I'm sure you'll have sympathy for anybody that's gone through bad injuries, but there is probably an element, and it's probably something that we can't shy away from, that, you know, to progress and to have a good standing in the game, you have to have that experience playing in many regards. But there are examples of people that haven't done that. And I guess words of wisdom for Scott out there would be that to not stop trying and to keep pushing on with his dream of coaching, isn't it?
I thought Greg put it absolutely spot on in terms of, you know, keep chapping the door. Keep pushing yourself in the right places. Never be afraid of the answer of no, because, you know, sooner or later, if you keep going, someone's going to say yes, and that opportunity is going to come, you know. So for me, you can't stop believing. You've got to believe in, like Greg said, about resilience, you know, within yourself and how much you want it. If you really want it that much, and I think looking at Scott, I think I can see that, you know, he's passionate about the game and wants to progress. So, you know, you just got to keep remembering that and keep believing that, and someone down the line will give you that opportunity, and then it's time to go and learn and grasp, and never be afraid to ask questions either.
Yeah.
No matter who, you know, approach them. I think that's important, because even at my level, I still have to do the same thing. It's important that I ask questions and, you know, to bounce off people, or else, you know, a lot of the time I have younger players even, and you want to be approachable, but at the same time, you can't always read. So it has to come from the individual. And when the individual comes to me, I'm more than open and ready. So just go towards the people that you want to speak to and ask the questions, and I'm sure they'll reciprocate.
I think Scott's right, Lewis, you know, about asking questions. I just think that's so important, and it's something in the past couple of years I've really tried to push, you know, in particular working with the likes of Steve Salas that's been on the podcast previously, and Scott's met on the pro licence. It's the critical thought for me, you know, as Scott's alluded to, you know, about asking questions. You know, it's the critical thought of, just because we see X, Y, and Z on coach education. It's the critical thought of when you can implement a particular skill practice or that particular game related practice or whatever it might be. And I suppose it's the contextual nature of the game. Everything's different for everybody. You know, things are different for Scott McDonald there in Australia and Scott McDonald in Airdrie. And you know, we can all Google stuff and find a dribbling practice online. But that context of where that dribbling practice fits for the two Scots here is completely different. So it's that, as I say, it's that critical thought, and Scott's right, constantly asking the questions, you know. And I suppose I'm going into another territory now about, you know, maybe getting a mentor as well for a young. I just think mentors are so important. I'm sure Scott's got guys he can pick the phone up to that he's had throughout his career. And Scott there and Airdrie as well, you know, have likely older coaches or more experienced coaches that he can hopefully pick the phone up to as well. But I do think that critical thought and being able to lean on someone is of vital importance as well on your journey.
That will have been huge in your career, Scott, in Australia. The amount of mentors and key people in your career that have helped along the way, that's huge, isn't it?
Absolutely. I've been fortunate to work with some top people throughout my career, long and distinguished as it's still going, but make myself feel old. But like in terms of there's so many father figures to me as well, in terms of people that I've looked up to and who have looked after me. And I think that's what you've got to remember as well. Football's about, like, we're learning a lot on the pro life, dealing with people and being a good people person first. If you can have that, then the coaching secondary and your tactical nous and everything else will come with it, and people want to buy into you. I think a lot of it's about you as a person first, and you know, offering yourself to them and trying to help them. And I think if you can do that, I think then you will get the rewards.
Scott, when you suffered that injury and you had that setback and you looked to coaching, who was that mentor or person that guided you? Was it something that you believed in yourself? Did somebody give you a bit of a guide towards coaching? How did it come about, that aim and hope?
So basically one of my idols was actually Walter Smith. Obviously me being a Rangers man, it was great to watch him win some trophies and obviously do well for Scotland national team too. Yeah. So seeing him and how he worked pretty much inspired me. That's the dream I want. I want to become the manager of Rangers one day. Obviously, it's a big, big ask. But as you all say, if I've got the determination and the push to try and get there, then I'm going to do everything I can.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, a Rangers fan on here, Scotty. I'm sure you've got fond memories of Scott McDonald for Motherwell scoring those important goals that handed Rangers the title.
Yeah, definitely. I've actually got a question for Scotty, if that's all right.
Fire on.
Who's the best manager that you've actually played under?
Oh, look, I think that without question, throughout my time, I had him three times. So Gordon Strachan. And I had different phases of Gordon as well. I had Gordon when I was a young player at Southampton and went through the stages of actually him not really thinking I was right for him or for Southampton, and getting released by Gordon and then getting re-signed by him twice, and the relationship building from there. But also actually recognizing that within myself that the changes that he's seen, and probably through that, that I seen as well. And that's what we talk about, mentors and father figures. Certainly Gordon was one of them to help me through a lot of the stages throughout my career, not just as a footballer, but as a man as well, you know, because it was very key points in my career where I was beginning, got married and had a family, and Gordon was there throughout. Actually, he was my next door neighbour when we had our first baby, so that was quite weird and interesting. But yeah, I have to say, you know, Gordon on different levels, and I've only talked about the guy as a, you know, the people person of Gordon Strachan, you know, in terms of on the field and tactically and what he gave me technically, was out this world for me and improved me so much, and I have him a lot to thank for. But there's so many. I mean, I think, you know, I could talk about Terry Butcher, a completely different type of manager, but what he gave me was what I needed at the right time, you know. So you find all different types of mentors and different qualities in different people, whether it's players, coaches, or just in general life, don't you? And that's why it's important probably just to have more than one mentor, because there's so much different offerings out there from different people that you can, you know, just squeeze as much as you possibly can out of so many people. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
No, brilliant. It's Greg, one of the things that you obviously push throughout coach education is, you know, a balanced learning in terms of, it's not always football people. You spoke about, you know, mindset coaches and things like that. And that's becoming more and more prevalent in the game now.
I call it performance psychology, Lewis, and I think you're right. And I think it was a conversation Jack Ross and I had previous to Jack helping us out on the B&A last year, and just because Jack, again, you know, that time a lot of people doing webinars, and Jack was getting asked to do a lot of webinars for different people, and he threw up, just he was thinking it's more and more important as a performance psychology side of things. You know, society's changed a lot. We all talk about mental health these days, don't we? You know, 5-10 years ago, you know, nobody spoke of it. Whether it was a taboo subject back then, or is it more prevalent now, particularly during the pandemic? So you're right, the performance psychology, what I call it, it's just so much of the game. It's interesting. I read an article yesterday, actually, by, I'll get the pronunciation of his name wrong here, but Julian Nagelsmann. You know, and Julian's a young coach in the Bundesliga, but throughout this article, he was talking to, and this relates to a lot of what Scott was just talking about there, he was talking about, as he becomes more experienced, even as a first-team manager in the Bundesliga, he was saying that he thinks it's maybe 70% social skills and 30% actual tactical work. So that's how much importance somebody at that level is placing on, if you like, performance psychology, which can encapsulate, as you say, Lewis, mindset, can encapsulate, you know, mental health, you know, try to get that best 1% from each people. And that's what Scott's now experiencing on the pro license, because once you do your, you know, your C license, your B license, your A license, and eventually get to that pro license, then the majority of the coaching work and the refinement of that is done. And it's really then about leadership and management and managing up to the board and, you know, trying to manage the media and all those different realms that come with the job of being a head coach or a manager. So yeah, you're right. It's, as I say, it's becoming more and more prevalent without a doubt. Yeah.
Yeah. Scott, out in Australia, what would be the kind of advice that you would give to somebody like Scott, somebody that is obviously going through a different route, a different approach? Because we spoke about managers first and foremost having to deal with people, but when it comes to that tactical side, it's obviously a big element that might lack for somebody like Scott trying to progress. So it is a challenge, isn't it? What advice would you give?
I think you have to learn, you know, never stop learning. And even for me, whether it be reading, watching, but I think more than anything in terms of getting out there, I know it's very difficult at the moment, but you can't get any better experience than actually getting out there and seeing things for yourself and what works for you, what doesn't work for you, how you can improve. Because till you actually get out there and refine what you're all about out there, and again, that's not just from a tactical element, that's how you're communicating when you're out there, what you're actually seeing. You know, I think the best thing is, you know, just to put yourself out there and get out there as much as you possibly can, but also take in the advice. We've talked about mentors, but at the moment, you know, taking as many Zooms as you possibly can. Watch the football that you like. You know, you've got to identify with what you like and what you are. You know, there's no point in watching something, I think, that you're not really going to take in or understand, or you know, like I think Greg was talking about, go on the internet and copy and paste. You've got to have sort of a belief in what you kind of style you like and technically what you want your players to learn. And I think that's a really good starting point.
Yeah, so usually if I'm online trying to get a session or something like that, I'll look obviously what they've got online, but I'll try and incorporate my own kind of style into it as well. And obviously when I was working with Clyde, it was 15 upwards, and it was trying to keep them interested and focused, because obviously if you do the same drill for a period of time, they end up getting bored. So it's all about changing it up and making it challenging for them. So I like to put my own wee spin, if that's been a wee race or something, onto the end of it, just to keep them interested and be focused.
I think what a great little piece of advice I will say is, what did you like as a player? What were you like as a player? You've got to remember sometimes, you know, it doesn't matter what level we're all playing at, but we all like stuff that we used to do as players. So I think it's so important that a lot of, I think some coaches get carried away with the elements of being a coach and then forgetting what it was actually like to actually be a player and what they like to be told or in certain circumstances. I think you've got to remember that you've been a player yourself. So what do you like? You know, and remember that the players are exactly like that. So sometimes you've got to give them what they want as well, and then you can bring them back into what you want. So it's a little bit of give and take.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know, Scott, speaking to you before this, that you mentioned you're doing a lot of reading at the moment through the pandemic and through things being a bit restricted. You're doing a lot of reading online, and you are coaching with a Sunday league team as well, aren't you? So I guess it's about constantly trying to develop yourself. That's something that you're still trying to do and trying to progress with, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So I've just recently joined a Sunday league team, which it's my friends that's started it. And he asked me to come in to be like a player coach kind of thing. So it's great for me because I'm still getting to play as well as fulfilling my dream as in being the coach as well. Obviously, a bit more challenging because it's not 15-year-olds I'm working with. It's people maybe my age or older. So getting the respect to an older generation from me is key because I don't want to be like took as I'm just a wee kid that doesn't know what I'm talking about. Like, I've studied this for, I went to college for 4 years, studied sports coaching. I've read up on many books and done the coaching badges. And I know and I'm confident of what I'm doing. It's just getting the chance to show people that.
That's a big thing, Scotty. I'm sure you can touch on examples throughout your career where getting the respect of the players is obviously huge as you progress further and further up, but it's... Have you seen ways in which managers have done little things that can just win a dressing room over or win an individual over that have stuck with you as you look, obviously, to progress into coaching as well?
I think just little words here and there, positivity, you know, individually. I think you can do it in a collective basis within the group as well, but you have to be careful in terms of who you're praising and how much you're doing it because... Within the group, you don't want to isolate someone individually too much. But I think all good managers have that type of... I was always one of them where you could give me a cuddle, but I'd probably need a couple of good slaps on the wrist as well. So it's knowing who can take that slap on the wrist and who can't and who needs a little bit more love than others as well. And I think a lot of that now is like talking about like psychological side and management skills. In terms of dealing with all the individuals very, very differently. Mark McGee was an interesting one for me where he did something which at the time I was like, why is he doing that? But it made so much sense after he told me why he was doing it. So he used to, at Motherwell, obviously, you'll know, Lewis, obviously, that wee hallway where the manager's door is. And he always used to leave it ajar. And I was like, do you want that shut? He goes, no, just leave it a little bit open. I was like, why do you want that? Do you not want privacy? But no, because if I shut that, none of you will knock on the door or open it to see if I'm here. He goes, with it being open a little bit, it always makes it look like you can come in. So it was something that was just as little as that was so prevalent and so true, though, because I've been many a time to a manager's door when it's been shut and I've gone, nah, and I've walked away. You know? Whereas if that door is just ajar, 100%. Then I'm going to pop my head in and see, you know. So it was something as small as that really just, you know, being there always and being open for your players. I thought it was something really, really clever.
Yeah, that's a great example, Scott. And I remember obviously working there and being with you at the time, Scott. It was when that door was shut, that was a big thing. You went, all right, okay, you can't go in.
It might have been shut on me a couple of times when I was there.
And I would usually hear your voice from inside. No, not at all. But it is. It's little tricks of the trade, Greg. I'm sure you'll have heard people speak about this on all the different licenses and courses. But little things like that can play such a big role are just little bits of experience and little nuggets of information that these guys can take away.
100%. It's so important. I'm trying to think back, and some, I can't remember who it was, but we're doing the pro license kind of exit interviews for the previous pro license course, so not the one Scott's on, but the previous course. And somebody said something the other day on it, and I'm searching my brain to remember who it was, and I just can't. But they talked about, you know, that sarcasm we've got in Scotland, and how important that is. That, as Scott suggested there, as you're maybe walking by the manager or the coach in the corridor, and you say something sarcastic, it's in us all when we're in Scotland, but the way that can be picked up to that player, yeah. If the head coach or the first team coach or the assistant coach or whoever it is says something sarcastic just to try and get a laugh, that player's then away thinking, what does he really mean here? Does he really mean that? You know, and it's just so communicate that kind of struck a chord with me, that communication is so important, and to maybe think about things. And you're right, over the years, been fortunate enough to sit in on goodness knows how many B licenses, A licenses, pro licenses now, just picking up so many little anecdotal stories that Scott's talking about, you know, there with the door being left ajar, picking up so many different anecdotal stories that were just, I remember years ago, Steve Harrison, who was Steve McLaren's assistant. Steve Harrison was on the pro license when I worked in Ireland, and he talked about they just used to go into the after a bad defeat, there were just the three or four management team, the management staff would go into the shower area and just have a kind of huddle, big deep breath, and then out to face the players with a smile, because it was so tough they felt, you know, the defeats and bad results just meant so much to them. So that was just one way they would deal with it. Right, get together, come on, we're in this together, smile, suck it up, and then let's put that smile on the face and go out and show the players that it's maybe not affecting us as much as it does. So just little stories like that just stick with you. You know, the door being ajar, they're going into the shower area just to suck it up before facing the world again. And there's countless stories like that, Lewis, that come out through your journeys in coach education. And sometimes it is the informal learning, if you like, as well. Yes, we've got the formal learning in terms of what we've got to cover on a course curriculum. But and Scott will be, and I remember seeing Scott in a few restaurants when he was doing his A licence in St Andrews. But you know, once the actual course is finished, the on pitch work is finished, it's sometimes going out for a pint or going out for a meal with five or six guys on the course, and you know, again, those anecdotal stories getting swapped and shared that you can pick up an awful lot from.
Scott, when you obviously have been working with mostly younger players, when you've been progressing with coaching, now you are at a point where you are, you know, a lot of the players that you'll be dealing with are older than you, only being 23 years old. So have you had moments where you found that really challenging? Have they challenged you, and have you felt that you've had to explore different ways to try and get information through to the players, perhaps?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, with coaches and players, you'll get the little bust ups. That's said, it's football, everybody's passionate about it, so they want to obviously be the best and figure out how to get to be the best. So you've got to, as a coach, what I've acknowledged anyway is you've got to try and figure out what players need what type of coaching. As Scott said, some people could need a cuddle, some people could need a slap around the wrist. But it's getting to know the players on a personal level as well as on a professional level too. So you could have a player that needs a cuddle, but then you try to cuddle another player and they don't really like it. So it's getting to know, as I said, what kind of player needs what type of coaching style and respecting their style that they need.
Yeah, absolutely. It's crucial. I'm sure, Scott, you'll have seen players that have maybe not taken to a certain management style very quickly or have taken to it quickly, and asserting that and trying to figure out the personalities is crucial, obviously, but it's not easy. That's for sure. It's not easy to master.
No, it's not. Football's a very egotistical game. Let's get that right. You know, no matter what level we're playing at, and you have to deal with that situation, especially as a coach, more than anything, and how you handle those situations, because everyone's got ego. You know, what I've learned and managed later on in my footballing career, as well as, you know, my coaching pathway now, is to, my ego's over there somewhere now. I try and leave that behind. Whereas as a player, that was huge. It was big. It was inflated. I'm not going to lie. You know, that was the type of player I was in terms of being a striker. That was my mindset. I needed to be the guy. But as I've grown older, and in terms of being in the environments that I'm in, especially the last couple of years since I came back, because I retired for that 6 months, and then I learned a lot through that phase of just being a little bit more different as a person, and enjoying that, and taking that back into my football and the reward that I got from that. So that was a great learning curve for me, and just actually the will to get to know other guys. I think that was, you know, you talked about there, Scott, understanding and getting to know. I think even just on a personal level, like a little, you know, couple of minute chat, asking guys about just what's happening or what are you into, or all of a sudden now they start to actually not just see you as the guy who's coaching them, you know, I actually, you know, pretty good guy. You know, I think that's important. You know, once you build those relationships, all of a sudden age doesn't matter anymore for me. You know, I think that you totally forget out the window about ages once football begins and you actually have, you know, the buy-in of your players, you know, and I think you as a younger guy have to not worry about your age and what others are thinking. You just have to concentrate and be confident within your own abilities that people are going to see that and not have to concern yourself with what other people are going to say about, or, you know, he's only 23, I'm 32, what will he know? You know, sooner or later, once the relationships are building, the trust is there, no matter what, I think you can be a success. There's no question. But it's just actually having, again, it goes back to your own resilience and belief in yourself and not letting anything else get in the way.
Yeah.
You've got a bit of an example going on at Brisbane, don't you, at the minute, where your manager, Warren Moon's only 38, I believe. He's quite a young guy. So, and I mean, don't want to remind you, Scotty, but you're obviously not too much younger than him. So, what's that challenge?
6 months difference. You know, Warren Moon actually played a little bit of football in Scotland as well. He was at Queen of the South for a brief period, and also I think he was at Hibs for a little bit, trialed there. But again, like I just see him as my manager, and straight away he's an older statesman. You know, it doesn't matter that we are the same age. I actually look at him. He probably looks older than me as well, so I'll give him that. I actually, as soon as like you get into that situation where he's manager and you're playing for them and you're trying to help still, but I've never looked at, you know, being the same age. It doesn't really come into context. You know, if he's the manager and he's astute and believes in his own ability and he's doing a good job, then you buy in. And that's certainly the case. And I'm really enjoying it, actually, and flourishing. The both of us at the moment and the relationship that we've got, and the club itself, are amazing, because I'm doing that, but I'm still having so much time to be able to get on the grass and actually learn and coach as well, even in the first team environment now. So we're talking about building relationships. It's important for me, especially with the centre forwards. We're talking about the way you talk to people, or even that one liner Greg's talking about, sarcasm, and it 100% spot on, because British or Scottish humour is a lot different from Australian as well. So you can imagine how deep they go with their thinking of some, just one line that you might say that it's a joke, but it's a negative joke in their eyes. And all of a sudden they're having to work and go all the way around, back around with it to try and reverse the psychology of what you've just said. So you have to be really clever and really careful.
Yeah. Scott, I know one of the questions that you were wanting to ask, Scott, was about, you know, making that transition from player to coach. And obviously Scott's going through at the moment where he's obviously still playing and still flourishing, much to his own surprise, I'm sure, still flying at this age. But he's obviously spoke about those adjustments he's made as a player into that kind of coaching role, where that ego perhaps kind of changes and develops. And that's obviously a sign that I'm sure you'll see a big difference between the playing and coaching mentality.
Yeah, so obviously, as Scott said, he's changed his ego. Obviously, from being a striker, he has to have that mentality. Like, he's going to score every game. He wants the ball, he's going to score, which a great mentality. And as I've seen, not happily seen, but he has scored a lot of goals in the Scottish Prem. So he's did really well in his career. And obviously changing that ego from being the best and the man to I need to can put that into my players. It's obviously great to see that he's still scoring goals in the A-League, as you said, in Australia, but he's also taking that pathway to making players better for himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Huge part of it. Greg, I guess as we kind of look to start wrapping it up, I know speaking to Scott and Airdrie before this, that, you know, as he's looking, he's got the steel eyes, but looking to progress from you, someone in your position, what would your words of advice be to someone like Scott, looking to continue to develop at the moment as a coach?
Yeah, I think we've maybe spoke about it before. You know, it is getting out there and getting experience as much as you possibly can. And it's interesting hearing Scott's story that, you know, he's worked with, you know, what did you, I think you said, under 15s or 15s and above at Clyde, and now you're working in that maybe amateur game. So that's broadening his experience. It's broadening, you know, stuff that Scott's been talking about, you know, different ways in which you'll need to communicate differently to those players. And even in that amateur team, you know, you've got, I don't know, Scott, you've maybe got 30-plus-year-olds, and you're maybe also got, you know, guys that, as you've said before, are the same age as you, but also younger than you. So, you know, even something simple, Lewis, like even trying to organise getting that group of 16 players together. Some will prefer texts, old-fashioned kind of text messages. Others will prefer a phone call. Others will prefer a WhatsApp message. You know, just things like that. You just go so much towards gaining further experiences, but you cannot underestimate the amount of time spent on the pitch, trial and error, trying things out. You know, and again, it's that critical thought for me. And Scott summed it up well. You know, what will work well? What will work well? What did you enjoy as a player? Why are you giving them that particular session? Are you just doing a session because it's a dribbling session, or have you done an analysis? I'm not sure you will do analysis against oppositions, but you'll probably start getting to know how the opposition plays, or how they play, or their style of play. If they go for a long ball in different ways, you might be able to counteract that. So then, for me, it's about doing sessions that will make a difference to that game on the Saturday. Yes. You know, so it's not just doing. I think we've been guilty, maybe grassroots football, certainly I was guilty as I was coming through, you know, of just doing a session for the sake of putting on a good session that everybody might have enjoyed. But, you know, what's the end product of it? You know, we're doing dribbling in wide areas because we know their fullbacks are weak, or whatever the case might be. And it doesn't need to be, I don't think we need to get too embroiled in tactics. You know, it can be quite simple at the level of the game that Scott's working on, but that'll breed confidence. And with that, you know, you'll try more, and then hopefully we'll see you on a B licence one day, and then things just kick on.
Yeah, so when I was with Clyde, as you said, for the analysis of the team, obviously we didn't have the projector up and knowing, but knowing, obviously, we played them, we knew that the team was playing the long ball all the time. So in training, we would get the ball punted up and the defenders would have to try and head it back and shape themselves so it'd be a bit more secure. So it's true what you say, if you've got to realise how your opponents play as well as how you're going to overcome that.
Yeah, just those little bits. And then, as I say, when you are, you know, looking for a session on the internet or however you get your information, then it brings it to life, you know, and there's a reason behind it. And again, I'm back to Jack Ross, because I think a lot of Jack, and Jack's, you know, fortunate that Jack's working with us in the B&A, but I spoke about that a lot. Well, players, and Scott will maybe chip in on this one, players nowadays are likely to ask, why are you doing that session, Gaffer? Why are you doing that session? Why are you asking us to play like this week? You know, in the past, probably football was very much, you do what the gaffer says and that's it. You keep your mouth shut. But now it's, well, why are we doing that? So, Scott, you've set up that session, as you talked about, so you're wanting maybe centre-half to clear it, and then you're wanting everyone to tuck in, as you said. Players probably asked you the reason why. Well, the reason why is that they're going to play with a long ball, and here's how I want you to play. So, yeah, I think probably it's the internet, isn't it? It's the kind of age of immediacy. It's the knowledge. I think players are now becoming more knowledgeable. So, again, I'm back to that critical thought in delivering sessions for a particular purpose for a particular reason.
Yeah, definitely. As you said, I've had a lot of my players when I was with Clyde asking why we were doing a certain session. Obviously, at that age, kids just want to play football. It's as soon as you get to training, are we having a game tonight?
That's right.
Yeah, you are going to have a game, but we're going to have to work on what we have to work on for Saturday or Sunday, whenever you have to play your games. So usually what I do with my sessions is I'll ask the players at the end, why do you think I did that? Or did you enjoy that? And what could I have done better to make that better for you? So it's all about getting the players' opinion as well as having your own opinion too.
That's great to hear, Scott. Reflections on your session are so important. And again, you spoke about Walter Smith earlier. Walter Smith, when he speaks in his pro licence, always tells a story about, you know, after games when he would go home, after a Rangers game, he would just take himself straight up the stairs. He would say hello to his wife, but he'd go straight up the stairs and he would sit in his office and he would write down his reflections. Did I make the right substitutions? Did I put the right game model in place? Did I do X, Y, and Z correctly? And write down his reflections. So it's important, I think, that we do that for everything. I think, again, we can be guilty at times of just, that session was all right. You jump in the car and away you go home. And I was listening to someone else again recently. You know, put your players at the end of the session, put your players into groups of three or four. Just ask them what went well. Guys, what went well? Give me something from each group. What went well? It would have been even better if what could we have done to make that session even better? And that'll help generate ideas, because that session, you might not do it again the following week, but you might have to revisit it when you play that opposition again, or somebody else plays in a similar way. So you might need to revisit that session in 6 months' time. So you've got your notes again. Here's what the players thought. Here's what I thought. So here's how I'm going to adapt that session to make it better still. And that's where that learning cycle really does kick in.
Scotty, that'll be something I'm sure you're doing a lot of on the pro, and you'll have to obviously reflect on it. But do you see yourself implementing that in your professional life as well out in Brisbane?
Absolutely. Like, we talk about like getting feedback for yourself, but what it also does is builds relationships. A bit like players like having input, you know, or bringing players out their shell, especially young players, giving them a voice. Because a lot of the time they'll sort of just sit there or they'll stand there and they'll just go with it. You know, you've got to try and open them up, get them to come out their shell a little bit, because they're also playing. They're also involved in whether it's the playing side or the training every day. So we've done a couple of really good exercises over here, which I explained in the pro license as well, in terms of when we do analysis as well. We go off to these little groups like Greg's talking about, whether it be in the strikers and then midfielders and the defenders, and we'll go and actually have to analyze certain parts of our game and what went well, what didn't go well. And it would actually be then at the end, we would all catch up maybe the day after, and the individuals would have to go up and speak. So someone from your group would have to speak on your behalf. And usually we'd try and get the younger players to go up and actually speak their minds, which has been fantastic. And it's actually growing because we've got such a sparse sort of group within. We've got a lot an older players and we've got some really, really young players, nothing in between. So it's actually bridged that gap for us in terms of, you know, building that relationships and giving young players a voice, because that's what senior players want as well. They want younger players to buy in and actually have a voice, and it actually, it buys in trust from the whole group.
Yeah. Scott, when I started this, I said, you know, two very different guys here, but you're now talking about something that Scott McDonald out in Australia is talking about at very different levels, but there's similarities there as well. As somebody that's maybe had setbacks, that's maybe looking to progress, being on a call and speaking to Scott today, how does it make you feel in terms of that aspiration to keep progressing, developing on, having these conversations?
Yeah, it's great. Obviously, over the pandemic period, I've been without a club and that. So hearing Scott tell me to keep going and don't give up, it's great hearing from a professional player that's moving that transition into a coach. Obviously, I've been looking at who's becoming the coaches, and it's always past players, past players, past players. So I was doubting myself, like, do you have to be in the game before you can become the manager? And then Andre Villas-Boas came into the scene, had never played a game of football, but managed to become manager of Chelsea. And now I think he's with Marseille.
Yeah, that's right.
So, like, it's all about how, as Scott said, it's all about the dedication and the drive that you put in to becoming what you want to become.
Yeah. He's a good example, obviously.
Lewis, I love that. It's just great, you know, that we have that. I think young guys can be at times, well, maybe not so much, but certainly, you're maybe afraid to state your ambitions. But Scott's done that, you know, he says, I want to be the next Rangers manager. But, you know, what a statement of intent that is. What, you know, that's what an incredible journey he's got to go on as well. But, you know, willing to put in the hard work, willing to put in the graft, willing to put in the learning. There'll be 101 speed bumps along that way. You know, we talked about resilience earlier. So good on Scott. I think, you know, too often we can, if I do a little bit of this or a little bit of that, I'll be all right. I think good ambitions are excellent. You know, it's the old adage, if we aim for the moon, we'll maybe get the stars, that kind of thing. So, you know, good on Scott for having that lofty ambition and, you know, hopefully, you know, see more of them along the way on the coach education pathway that will help them. But, you know, everything else that we've spoke about during this episode is certainly going to help them. And just that open-mindedness and critical thought and everything else. But as I say, you know, good on Scott again, having that lofty ambition and not being afraid to throw it out there. Because I'm sure you'll get some mates now, Scott. What are you talking about? No way you're going to be the Rangers manager. You know, they will. They'll mock you for throwing that out, I'm sure. Yeah. But as I say, good on you for doing so.
Scotty, as we kind of wrap up, and I know it's getting later and later over there, I guess if you were to kind of wrap things up for Scott and give him a couple of key things to take away from today, what would maybe those three things be that you would say to Scott? Think about this, take that away.
Obviously, refine... obviously your coaching, just get up, like I said earlier, get on the park as much as you can. Greg even spoke on that. You know, you learn so much from getting out there and making mistakes. You know, don't worry about if you're gonna lose within someone saying no to you, or whether it be in games or whatever it is, learn from it. How can I do the next one? Like, we had Jesse Marsh on our pro license, and he said like he went to like 11 different interviews. And probably the worst one that he did, he actually got. And he was sort of thinking, how did that happen? But he was always trying to refine himself and improve himself. And I think that's just in everything that we do. We've got to do that. We've just got to learn from the bumps on the road and how can we improve as an individual. And I think the most important thing is what you've talked about there is believing in yourself, you know, and that hunger and desire of where you want to go. Never lose that, because that's your drive and that's your passion and that will come out in your personality of what you need to be to get to where you need to get to, you know? So that's something I would say, never to lose it, you know, that passion of where you want to get to.
Thanks very much, Scott.
I think you've even on a smaller scale, Scott, get your own story there, you know, just that, because it took a little bit of time for you, didn't it, between the A-license and pro-license, and, you know, just that, you know, Scott and I bumped into each other one night on an awards dinner, and Greg, I need to go on this pro-license. And unfortunately, Scott, I hope you don't mind me saying, I never got on the first one that I applied for. But, you know, it's exactly what Scott says. It's the never giving up. So it was like, right, okay, you're not letting me on that pro-license. Can I do the elite youth license then? Brilliant. You know, it's never giving up. What else can I do? Scott uses the word refinement. Okay, I can't go on the pro-license. Can I do the youth license then? You know, so he's refined his journey then, because again, you've maybe hit a speed bump along the way, just because it was so competitive to get, you know, to get places on the A license, and Scott was maybe still, you know, involved in playing. So I think that message is absolutely fantastic to hear from Scott.
One of the things you asked me as well, even in terms of like, why do you want to do youth? And I was sort of saying to you, Greg, well, there's always so much to learn in all levels, you know, and learn some of the trips and the experiences that people were getting on, you know, the pro youth as well. I was hungry to get even on that, because there's so much different places you can learn. It doesn't matter, you know, if you want to be a senior coach, I still think there's so much in learning, even coaching younger players, you know, because they're going to be the next generation that come through as well. So the generational thing as well, you know, personalities and society is always changing. So to be in all those different levels for me is quite, you know, it's quite, interesting and enjoyable, because I'm learning all the time and I'm just trying to take in as much as I can right now. So, you know, regarding in terms of your pathway where you want to go, I don't think there's anything wrong with going in and out of other directions right now. Obviously, there will come a stage even in my career that I'm going to go, right, that's what I am and that's what I need to be and that's where I need to stay to improve and refine myself to be the best manager I possibly can be.
Spot on. On that note, gentlemen, I think I can safely say it's been a pleasure talking to you all. Scott, out in Australia, we'll hear more from you, I'm sure, on the podcast, mate. I look forward to chatting to you again, and as always, great to see you. And Scott, out in Airdrie, hopefully there's, as we've just spoke about, enough that you can take away from this one today to keep pushing on your dream moving forward as a coach. And we wish you all the very best with that journey as well.
That's all we have time for in this week's edition of the Scottish Football Coaching Podcast. Feel free to send us your feedback, your ideas for coaching topics you want us to cover, and to get in touch, visit @ScottishFA on Twitter or email info@scottishfa.co.uk.